So if you could turn your Bibles to your page number 996. And yeah, it's going to be an all-age service. If children, if you would like to come to the front, you're very welcome to come and sit in the front. But I'm going to read now and pray, and we can look at it. So it's from verse 31 onwards. When Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for an hour?" He asked Peter, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." Then when he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." Let me pray. Father God, we thank you for the Bible. Thank you for what it teaches about us. Thank you for what it teaches about Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Help us to be grateful for all that Jesus has done out of his love for us and how he has united us with him forever so that he could be a help and strength for us. We pray that you would help us to remember and learn these things from the Bible. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen.
Speaking now.
Yeah. We're oh, on. Great. Thanks, Joel.
Okay. Sorry for interrupting.
Good. Thank you. Thanks for the help. Yeah, so what you have to do is just stand on one leg and keep the ball in the head and balance it for as long as possible. Let's see who balances for more time. Oh, okay. Well done. Done. Good try. Let's try with Joseph. Good try, Joseph. Let's try the second time with some help. I'm going to help you. And let's try one more time. Yeah, you could come here. You could try one more time. I'm going to help you. Stand on one leg. You keep it there. And I'll hold it. You can stand for a lot more time than before. Very good. Thanks. Let's try with Joseph, whether that's possible. Okay, stand on one leg. Try this help. Yeah, great. Joseph can do it. Siendara could do it. Very good. That's what we're going to think about today, is what is our attitude towards God? Do we really think we need God's help, or do we think we would do fine without the help of God? Maybe after church service, kids might go and play near the minor hall, and then you might go home, you would be spending time with your parents, and then during the week you might spend time in your school with friends and with your teachers. You might think this is something you've been doing every week, and you have learned a lot, you have come to church for quite a while now, so you know a lot from the Bible what to do and how to do it. Rob has taught you well in Sunday school, and you know exactly what to do, and you might be very confident that you will get it done this week, whatever the Bible teaches you to do as a good Christian child. But the thing is, in this passage we find that's not the right attitude we should have towards Christian life. Because we all need Jesus' help. Jesus is the one who helps us win. We need Jesus' help to live the way God wants us to live. So firstly, we're going to look at the disciples, the Peter, and we're going to learn that we all fail God. This is the first thing we're going to look at, is from Peter and the other disciples, that as Jesus followers, we all fail God. So we start with reading from verse 31 onwards once again. So we see, if you have your Bibles, please do look at your Bibles, where it says, Jesus told that this very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. So in verse 31, if you look down, Jesus says, all the followers of Jesus will the very night will fall away. That means they will stop being followers of Jesus. In some way they will leave Jesus and they will run away. And when Peter heard this, he was very angry. And with what Jesus said, he did not want to accept what Jesus said about him from the scriptures, from the Bible. So he quickly replied, which we can look in verse 33. Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. So maybe children, in your schools, do you know of anyone who has been on school council or as a head boy? So yeah, we'll ask who is the person in your school. Who's the school council, or is a head boy or a head girl?
Hey, school council.
Who is the one in the school council?
Nicola.
Huh? Nicola. Oh, great. Oh, the school's Nicola. In your school, who is it? School council. Do you know of someone? Huh? Yasmin. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So in schools, you get school councils. In some schools, you have head boy, head girls. In schools, teachers choose certain children over others for a specific reason. There will be a reason behind it. And among Jesus' followers, Peter was the one Jesus chose as the main leader. So maybe Peter thought he was someone special than others. He might have thought, I'm the best of all Jesus' followers. How rude of Jesus to think even he would run away from Jesus. He would not be a follower of Jesus all his life. So Peter rejects what Jesus said. Then Jesus reveals something more about Peter, which we can see in verse 34. If you look down, Jesus says, truly I tell you, Jesus answered, this very night, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times. So I've got a picture of a cock, which is like a male chicken you got to have there. So Jesus says, this very night the cock is going to crow, and if it crows before, it crows three times. Jesus says, Peter, who is like the main leader, he says he's going to be the one not only stop following Jesus, but he's also going to say he's not going to be a follower of, he doesn't know Jesus anymore. When Jesus reveals, When Jesus reveals this, Peter is even more angry. So maybe we can imagine, I'm going to go and say to someone who is a very good football fan for many years, maybe we say a West Ham football fan, and I'm saying to them, from tonight onwards, you're not going to be a West Ham fan forever. Or I'll say from today onwards, you're going to say you don't even know. You will say that you don't even know about West Ham. And how much would that annoy a fan, a loyal West Ham fan? And here we have Peter in this Bible passage, who is a loyal follower of Jesus for more than 3 years. What Jesus said would have made Peter really, really furious. And we see that in verse 33, the way he answers. When we look down at verse 35, we see Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. So that is a very bold statement, isn't it? Peter is saying, even if someone tries to come and kill me, I'm never going to be stop being a follower of you, Jesus. I'm going to always be your follower. But it's just not Peter, but all the disciples say the same. If you look down verse 35, it says, it's just not Peter, but all the other disciples also said the same. Then Jesus went with his followers to a place called Gethsemane. It was like a garden. Jesus asked his followers to stay awake and pray. But if you look down in verse 40, when Jesus returned to his followers, he found them sleeping. And he says, couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? Jesus again said in verse 41 to stay awake and pray. And again you see in verse 43, Jesus again found the followers, Peter and others, sleeping. We don't know what exactly is the reason behind why Peter and others went to sleep. Maybe they never believed that they will run away from Jesus. They did not see the need to ask for help from God to be a good follower of Jesus. Jesus said that attitude will only going to end in failure. And that's exactly what we see later on in this chapter, that Peter ends up doing exactly what Jesus predicted him to do, and all the disciples failed God. That's what we see in today's passage, that all the disciples failed God. And that's something Christian, in the Bible we learn that all Christians, we confess that we fail God. We have failed God. Which is very different to the teaching in other religions. Maybe children, they might take you to a mosque or to a Hindu temple, to a Gurudwara. The teaching there is different to what is taught in churches. In churches, we teach that we all have failed God. We have not lived up to the standard that God wants us to live. In other religions, they might teach you that God has thrown you a holy Bible. Now it's up to you to be like Peter, to say, I can do everything and get it done. But in the Bible, we don't teach that. That is why in the church also, we have confessions every week. When we come before God, we want to acknowledge we get things wrong. Children, you can also join in during the confession time. And you're also welcome to confess the things you get wrong during the week. So the first thing we saw in this passage is that all the disciples got it wrong. But we also learned something about Jesus in this passage. And that's something all Christians do as well. We are all grateful for what Jesus has done for us. And what Jesus has done for us is, which we'll look in the next subheading, which is Jesus has lived a perfect life for us. That's what we're going to look at. So Jesus was in a place called Gethsemane, which we see in verse 36 onwards. And then we see he prayed in verse 39. So if we look down at verse 39, it says, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not I will, but as you will." And again, if you look down at verse 42, he went again the second time, and he again prayed the same prayer. He says, "My father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away, unless I drink it, may your will be done." And then in verse 44, if you look down, we see he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. And in this passage, Jesus is talking about a cup. So he's asking God the Father to take the cup away from him. Jesus is not holding a coffee cup and asking his Father to take it away from him. No, it's in the Old Testament books of the Bible, the cup represents God's anger. And God's anger is going to be poured out on Jesus. And he's going to face death on a cross. So his followers, like Peter, who has fallen away from him, can have friendship with God. But also Christian followers like us, you and me who do wrong, we can receive forgiveness and friendship from God. Jesus is someone in the Bible which is taught to be have done no wrong, but he was willing to face God's anger. So Jesus was in the garden, which was Gethsemane. But also in Jesus, also in verse 41, he talked about temptations. If you look down at verse 41, he says, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." So it's Jesus who is alone praying in the garden, making sure he doesn't fall into temptation. But all the disciples, they've all fallen asleep. They have not prayed. They all failed in the garden. And this is not the only place in the Bible where the Bible talks about humans in a garden and about temptation. Can anyone else tell me where else in the Bible can we learn about garden and temptation, where God has put some people in there and they have been tempted? Yeah? Genesis, well done. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, in the book of Genesis, when God made the first man and first woman, he put them in a garden. And then it says, the Satan came and tempted them, and they failed to do what God wanted them to do. But again, we come to another garden in Gethsemane. All of Jesus' followers failed to do what God wanted them to do. But here we have Jesus who is tempted, but he is praying, and he is standing strong for us. He never failed God. He lived a perfect life for us. He overcame the temptations and he did everything God wanted him to do. He was ready to go to the cross and die the way that God the Father has planned his death. That's what we see in verse 45 and 46. So after he has prayed and he has overcome the temptations, he's saying he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come and the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of sinners." He's going to be delivered to other peoples to be crucified on a cross, but he's ready to face it for us. So Jesus is the only one we understand from the Bible who has fully obeyed God, and he has did it for us. That's why as Christians we are thankful for what Jesus has done for us. We are thankful for the good life Jesus has lived for us. We are thankful for the punishment he has taken on him, so that we don't face God's anger. Okay, so far we have learned that we have all failed God, but Jesus, Christians as Christians, we are thankful for the perfect life Jesus has lived for us. But thirdly, we also see that Jesus is the one who helps us win. So even though we are failures, we understand from the Bible that we don't need to worry how God is going to look at us. God is always going to love us because Jesus has done everything for us to be friends with God. That's what we're going to sing later on in the song, that we are forgiven sinners, but we are forgiven friends as well. So we are friends of God because of what Jesus has done for us. Jesus is always there to help us to have friendship and lifelong relationship with God. So we look down at verse 31 when Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me." So we see in verse 31, one of the things he says is, all the disciples will fail. And that's the same for us as Christians. We understand we all fail. But there is good news in the sense Jesus is saying, "But I have risen, but when after I have risen," if you look down verse 32, "after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." This one thing Jesus is saying, he's not going to let go of his followers once he's risen back. He's going to come back to help them. Jesus available for them to help. Jesus, like we read on later on in the book of Acts, he gives the Holy Spirit. He empowers the early believers to do their part for the local church and in the society. He's the one who later on helped Peter and all the other disciples to live for God. And it's the same Jesus who is still alive. That's what Christian belief is. We don't think that there is no one else who can help us to live for God. We don't believe that anyone else has any power to empower us to live for God. So this same Jesus who is still alive, that's what we believe, is there to help everyone here in Dagenham to live for God. He can help your mommy and daddy to live for God and do the things that God wants them to do. And he's the same God who is still alive to do for you kids as well. That if you look to him for help, he is there to empower you to live for Christ, even in your schools and in your families. So even though the Bible teaches us that we are failures, it does tell us that if we are grateful for what Jesus has done for us and look to him for help, he's always there to empower us and to use us to live for God. And if we understand this message, it will help us to avoid some of the things that Peter did in this Bible passage. Like I said, one of the things Peter did in verse 31 is to neglect God's word. So if you can see in verse 31, he says, Jesus said, "For it is written." Jesus showed something that was written in the Bible, and he said, that's going to happen. But Peter rejected it. That could happen for us as well if we have an attitude like Peter, that we can do it. What we will do is we will reject God's word. When you come to church and to listen to the Bible as God speaks from the Bible, we might end up growing up as children who reject the word of God. But if we understand that we are failures and we are thankful for what Jesus has done and to look for him for help, we will grow up as children who will listen to God's word. And the second thing is we will appreciate what Jesus is doing for us. That's something we see in this passage. Jesus said, in verse 32, he said, "After I have risen up, I will go ahead of you into Galilee to help you." And that's something, as you grow up as kids, you would do if you appreciate what you will grow up to appreciate what God is doing for you. Peter did not thank Jesus for what he said he would do for him. And if you are not thankful, we might end up like Peter. But the other thing is also, in this passage we see that Jesus constantly asked them to be prayerful, to be asking for help from God. If we understand this message that we are failures, but God is there to help us in Jesus and make us win, we'll be more prayerful. We'll be looked to God for help and to live the kind of life that God will ask us to live. Shall we all pray as we close? Father God, we thank you for the message from the Bible. Even though it is hard to sometimes hear that we are failures, but we are thankful for what Jesus has done, that he has lived a perfect life for us, and he has died for us so that we can be forgiven, and can be friends with God. Help us to always be looking to you for help, and help us to also live for you in this wicked world. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen.